Here's a podcast from Morning Glory on Joy 94.9.
Good morning.
Morning, Ben. How are you doing today?
I'm very well, Gabe. How are you?
Very good. It's a lovely, shiny, sunny day out there.
It is.
It's not at all. I wish it was, though.
What's that place where it's like there's no sun?
Hell?
Yeah, we're in hell on earth. I do like that we see each other in the dark, though.
Yes, it's a kind of a good, nice warm up to the day, as we just stand out the front having coffees before we get into the building.
That's it.
Yeah,
just regrouping.
Yeah, bemoaning our early morning start, but I'm so happy to be here.
Me too, Gabe. Now, we do have to mention that Maddie's not here with us today.
He's not.
Aww.
Guess where he is? Where the sun is shining. He's in LA.
The sun is shining in LA.
Yeah.
It's always sunny in LA.
I wish I was there.
Me too.
I miss him.
I miss him too. Maddie will be taking a couple well-earned weeks off. He did have a bit of a loss in his family, so we have to just send our love to him and his family.
Always.
And he'll be back soon.
Great.
So it's just you and me.
Oh, yeah. Oh. It's Morning Glory with Ben and Gabe.
I'm going to have to try to be a bit nicer to you, I feel.
Don't do that. I feel like something's wrong if you do that.
Gabe, we've got a great show for everyone this morning, don't we?
Always.
Simone Denny. She was in a band in the late 90s, early noughties, called Love Inc. They had some huge hit songs. I'm also going to say some of them are pretty big gay bar staples.
Yeah, they are.
Simone also did a song for the Queer Eye for the Straight Guy soundtrack called All Things Keep Them Better.
Are you going to sing it?
Oh, maybe not. I don't do requests, sorry.
No requests, okay.
She was really cool.
She's great.
Lady.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Todd Call, and you're listening to Joy 94.9 with Maddie, Ben, and Gabe.
That's my morning call.
Is it? Do you just wake up and...
Well, do you remember last week when we were trying to work out which celebrities were most like?
Yes.
And I'm not even a celebrity, apparently.
You were the Mr. Ed.
Mr. Ed.
You don't let things go, do you, Ben?
No.
You hold on to them.
No, I've had many sleepless nights thinking about it. Who did I say you were?
Oh, I have definitely deleted that from my memory. It was horrible. Oh, Ozzy Ostrich.
Oh, because I said you were really necky.
Yeah, and I've worn a scarf today.
Oh,
Gabe. You hurt me.
Oh, I do love you.
I didn't care. I moved on.
I did something really stupid.
Yes.
And I feel like that's just me getting out of bed every day.
Yeah, that is a stupid idea.
I'm actually notoriously bad with technology, like, you know, your 80-year-old grandma or something. Like, you know, where's the manual? Where's the booklet? All of that. I'm hopeless. I was using a microwave the other day to cook my food, and it's a new microwave. I was in my lunchroom at work.
Mm.
So I'm cooking it, and I press the timer button, and so I'm turning it on and, you know, set it for a couple minutes, and I get the food out. I'm like, oh, it's still a bit cold. That's interesting. I'll just pop it on for a few more minutes.
Yeah.
And then I put the timer on again for a few more minutes, and then it's still cold and I was really, really hungry. It was also a salad, I have to just sort of say.
You've put a salad for 3 minutes? Yeah.
Well, I think it's one of those salads you can just heat up. I don't know.
Okay.
It got to about 5 minutes of unsuccessfully thinking, oh my God, this food just will not heat up.
Yeah.
It wasn't even frozen, but stupid me, I'm just like, oh, you know what, stuff it. I'm just going to eat the damn thing. Risk the food poisoning.
Yep.
If I get sick, whatever, I'm going to eat the damn thing. Anyway, so I was chatting with someone about the microwave. I'm like, oh my God, this food just, it will not get hot. And he's like, that microwave, you've got to be really careful because when you set the timer, you've actually got to press the heat function on as well.
Oh, so you were just timing your food going around in circles.
Yeah. I basically was just cooking like food in cold air for 5 minutes.
You idiot.
I think the worst part is that I actually just risked food poisoning by, you know, I just ate it cold.
I don't think you can get food poisoning from a salad, can
you? I don't think you can either.
Well, you look all right.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
I'm alive.
Yeah.
Gabe, have you ever done something really sort of stupid?
Every day?
Oh.
Constantly? Like, this is my rep. This is what I do. Stupid things. Okay, last week I went to a car park in the city, right? It's not that exciting. I do it all the time. I park my car there and I came back to pay for my ticket, right? And I put my ticket in the machine, but it just like spat it back out like it wouldn't take my money.
Oh.
So I stood there for like 5 minutes just putting this ticket in the machine. It kept spitting it out. And like this went on for quite a while until I realised that I was actually at the wrong car. car park.
Oh, dear.
This is just the story of my life. Stupid things.
How many laps did you do? At the ticket machine, that's when you realised?
Yeah. I was just at the ticket machine and I was like kind of looking around. It was late at night, so there was no one to help me. I went to like look for someone attendant, but there was no attendance there. I walked across the road to 7-Eleven. That guy was no help. Do you know what I mean?
Help me. I'm just picturing you going into like the service station like, excuse me, I'm lost. I don't know where I am. Could have been really funny if it turned into like this multiple day thing where you're just like locked in the car park.
I'm not that stupid. Oh, I do some stupid things, but it doesn't take me a couple of days to figure it out.
Yeah. Look, maybe we could get some feedback. Maybe someone could send me in a manual on how to work a microwave.
Joy.
Ben, you keep bringing up the improv thing.
Yeah.
It kills me.
Is it a sensitive topic?
Why is
it so sensitive?
Well, I do stand-up comedy, right?
You're very funny.
Thank you.
You're hilarious.
Not so good at improv, though. And so I did improv. I failed.
Why? Tell me. What happened?
Well, I wanted to
How could you, though, Gabe? Because you're funny. Yeah. How could one...
Exactly.
As funny as you... Be as bad in improv.
I wanted to be like Tina Fey and Amy Poehler. They did improv. That's how they got started in stand-up.
That's reaching a little bit high though, don't you think?
I know, but I didn't think I was going to be good at them, but I thought at least I'd pass. Do you know? So anyway, I do improv and they're like, there is no wrong answer. Just do whatever comes naturally, right? And I did. And they said, yeah, but not that. And I failed improv and I get so much grief about it.
Like
all my comedian friends think it's hilarious. I'm a good comic, just no good at improv.
Yeah.
I'm never going to let this go. Nobody's ever going to forget this.
So what did you sort of stuff up in the class? Like, what was the worst part of it?
Well, I think the problem was that in every scene, I was a horse. No, I didn't do that. I don't know. I just was like, I was always saying yes. And they said, just do what feels right. But just don't do that. So...
Yeah. Was it like that?
It was. It was every scene. I just like...
You know, I have to say, I did an improv course maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah.
It is actually really hard because you kind of... You get a bit nervous. You overthink it.
Yeah.
And you really want it to be the best possible. And that's what makes it so hard because it's like... The whole point is to just be really dumb and stupid with it and just sort of let loose.
Yeah.
And I mean, look, I have a lot of control issues in case you haven't noticed.
Yeah.
And my problem was I always just tried to kind of control the scenes.
Yes.
You can't do that.
No, you can't. Well, we've just had a text in from Ange and she said that she did improv and she loved it.
Oh, hi, Ange.
I'm assuming she passed because
Did you pass, Ange? I hope you did.
I bet she did.
Yeah. So you're not going to do improv anymore?
No, I did it again.
Oh.
And I passed.
Oh.
And I said, all right, now I'm moving on. I'm too good for this.
No. So now, yeah.
I had to pass and now I can let it go. So if you guys could stop bringing it up, that would make me really happy.
There was, I do remember also, there was this game that we used to... Did you play the game at the start, like the
so
warm-up
many games.
Game?
So many games.
Oh, it was like we were in bloody, you know, preschool or something.
Yeah.
You know, and I sort of shudder to do these sort of like light-hearted things we've, you know, in front of groups. I think we all had to like have a phrase that sort of went with, that rhymed with our name.
Yeah.
So we'd go around in the circle and mine was Bouncing Ben. So for like 8 weeks straight, I had to go, Bouncing Ben, Bouncing Ben. And I remember it was a way for us to like remember people's names.
Yeah.
And the only one I remember was this girl whose name was Kirsten.
Yeah.
And her thing was Kicking Kirsten.
Oh,
so that
brutal.
Was the one that I'd always remember, Kicking Kirsten.
Yeah. I think I would have just done Gabe the Babe.
Got too many tickets on yourself.
Apparently Ange did pass, so she's just rubbing it in there.
Oh, good on you, Ange.
Everyone else can pass improv except for me.
Maybe the only reason why I remembered Kicking Kirsten is because I did want to kick her. I didn't really. I'm not a violent person.
Joy.
What an anthem, Gabe.
That's a great song.
Oh, it's no longer 5 seconds of summer though, isn't it? It's like 5 million years of cold Arctic blasts.
It's gross
in Melbourne.
Out there. It's not too bad. It's looking better.
What do you mean? It's beautiful.
Oh, it is.
We worship the day. How is your weekend, Gabe?
It's always delightful.
Oh, how is your Saturday?
It was good.
What did you get up to?
I slept a lot.
Did you watch the royal wedding?
Not really.
Oh, Gabe. I actually had a little bit of a royal wedding party with a bunch of friends.
Yeah, you did.
And you look, it was a bunch of gays and all of that, so we're a little bit bitchy, you know. Yeah. There was a bit of running commentary. It was kind of funny, though, because we all got together and about an hour into the party, we realised that we hadn't actually turned the TV on to watch it.
Nice.
I remember watching it and I remember Megan getting out of the car and I made this really bitchy comment about her page boys.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh God, why would you have redheads as your page boys? It does not go with her dress. Very bitchy. It was one of those awkward moments where you realise that there's someone in the room that actually is a redhead. And right at that moment, I looked and there was that redhead.
Oh, no.
So then I had to, like, pass it off as a joke. I'm like, oh, I'm just joking. I'm sorry.
I think redheads are gorgeous.
No, I do too. It was just one of those kind of, like, jokes that you don't really think before.
Yeah.
You know, sort of say. But it ended up being the joke was on me because later on when we got a closer view of the page boys, they had mousy brown hair. They weren't even redheads. So I'm just bloody blind.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. I thought, I did watch a little bit of the wedding and I thought it was kind of awkward because William and Harry were wearing the same thing.
Oh, were they?
Yeah. It's like...
Yeah. And what about the mum? She just looks so sad. Megan's mum just sitting there alone. No, wasn't she alone?
She was alone, but I thought she was like a powerful single mother type.
Yeah, she was powerful, but it was like all the family had like been outcasted because they sold the story to the press and all of that. And it was kind of like she was just in the naughty corner and it was just like, you stay there and you don't move.
Nah, I think she was happy. She had lots of leg room, no one like whispering in her ear, no one eating popcorn. She was living the dream.
Oh, I love it. I did love all the shots of Elton as well, like of his face, because, you know, I mean, love Elton, respect, you know, you are the king or the queen.
Yeah.
But he just had this kind of stoic, cold kind of face.
Yeah.
That just sort of looked miserable.
Yeah, he did. Oh, no. I think it's because he wore the wrong glasses. Those glasses were terrible.
I did also have a quick thought as well. You know when they sing the hymns in the church?
Yeah.
Do you reckon they actually sing it or do they just mime? Like, do you reckon the Queen just can't be stuffed and she just sort of mimes it? I mean, she's been doing it for like 1,000 years.
Yeah, I reckon she probably just phones it in. Just a little bit of miming.
Did you ever have to sing the Australian anthem in primary school or high school?
Oh, I guess.
I used to be a little bit of a diva, which probably wouldn't surprise you.
No, I'm not surprised.
When I couldn't be bothered singing it, I'd just mime.
Yeah.
Is that bad?
No.
Oh, God, get off my back.
Joy.
Gabe, I got the great opportunity to catch up with Simone Denny from Love Inc.
You lucky duck.
Did you listen to those guys back in the late 90s, early noughties?
Oh, yeah, of course. Who didn't?
They had some huge songs, I'm going to call it a gay anthem, which we'll talk about in the interview. They had a huge song called Broken Bones. I don't know if you remember that one. And also a song called You're a Superstar.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you are a superstar. You know that, Gabe.
Thank you.
She is coming to Australia for the Wild Nights Tour. It is in June. There's going to be some amazing people on the lineup, including DJ Sash, Hello, and Entrance, who we actually chatted to them a few weeks back.
We did.
That was so much fun. With Simone, we got to talk about how the band started, her memories from the late 90s. She actually has quite good memory, which is good from that time, and the impact of dance music and as well as the impact of their hits in the gay community. Because, oh, my God, the amount of times I've danced to their songs in a gay bar.
Yeah.
I can't tell you. Mm-hmm. This is the first part of our chat. Enjoy. Simone Denny, welcome to Joy 94.9.
Thank you for having me.
I don't know if you know, but you're actually talking with Australia's first and only LGBT radio station.
Oh, very cool. Oh, I'm honoured. Thank you.
So Love Inc., they had 5 number one dance singles in Canada in the late 90s and early noughties. Okay. What was that time like for you?
Oh, it was great. Just such a great era of music. A lot of positive energy, a lot of positive uplifting music and great audiences to perform it to. Everybody was up. It was awesome.
How did you get into the band?
Well, I had actually worked with the lead member, which would be Chris. Chris is pretty much responsible for bringing, his name is Chris Shepherd. He's a radio, he used to be a radio personality here, and he was responsible for bringing dance music to Canada. I had worked with him in a group called, prior to Love Inc., called BKS. That's what we did, and we had quite a few radio, mainstream, and house music hits here in across Canada. And once that group disbanded, he turned to me and he said, listen, I'm starting a new group, and I want you to be the lead singer. are you in? And I was like, absolutely. And that was it. It was just born.
I mean, that was a really amazing time for dance music. Not that dance music isn't still around because it's still just as big, but I feel like it was really exciting back then. How do you think it's changed from then to now?
The beautiful thing about dance and house music is it's a form or genre of music that constantly changes. I mean, literally, the sound changes every 3 to 6 months. To me, it's just a very highly creative. Not to say that the other genres aren't, but I have a particular love for dance music because a lot of the guys are artists or graphic artists or writers. They're very, very highly creative people. And that comes through in the music. I often refer to dance music and house as music for cool people.
Yeah.
So, you know, the crowd is not necessarily going with, you know, the mainstream and what's out there. They kind of dance to their own drum and they're like, this is what I like. This is where I'm at. And this is what expresses who I am.
Yeah.
You know, so I love it. I love it.
Yeah, I love that. Going back to Love Inc., you know, some of those singles, oh my God, that was so huge. There's so many anthems.
Yeah.
In particular, though, Broken Bones, I think it's very much been adopted by the LGBT community. Do you think it was an unintentional gay anthem? Because I feel like a lot of those lyrics in that song, really, you really can relate to the gay community for what, you know, people have to go through.
You know, that's actually really interesting that the LGBTQ community there has taken to Broken Bones. Usually the song that I get, that's the song of choice, is Superstar.
Yeah.
A lot of people in North America and Europe and the UK usually say they came out to Superstar. Mm. So I'm really intrigued and very honored that Broken Bones struck a chord with the LGBT community in Australia. And that's awesome. I know when I sang those songs and when we recorded them, I tried to put myself in the lyric and really feel it from a point of view that anyone could relate to. So when I was singing those lines, it was like, for anyone who's been hurt, for anyone who's gone through something, this song is for you.
Mm.
You know, so yeah. I'm really honored that the community is loving it and has found power in the lyrics for them personally. I think that's great.
Right?
I think when we made music, we're loving. We made music for everyone. It was, if you love what you hear and you want to party, then come on down and party with us. You know, it was always open to everyone. At least for me, it was always open to everyone, and I continue to be that way. Do you know all things just keep getting better?
Yeah, well, that's...
From Clear Eye for the Sticker?
That's my next question, because all things just keep getting better. OMG, that is such an anthem. You're kind of responsible for a lot of anthems in gay bars. Is it comforting to know your voice is heard in gay bars across the globe?
Love it. I love it. Like I said, I make music for people, not one specific audience. And I love when I hear all the different communities that have found meaning and power in whatever I have sung. And anthems are something that go across the board and they touch many people's lives. And you telling me, like I said, telling me about Broken Bones and now Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, all things just keep getting better. If it has moved anyone, if it has empowered them and given them strength, then my job is done. That's what I'm here to do, and I'm honored to do it.
Oh, I love it. You're really rising me up this morning.
Let's talk.
I think I need to have Simone Denny, like, just give me a motivational talk every day, Gabe.
Yeah, she's lovely.
She really rose me up, as I said.
Yeah, no, she didn't know how to take that.
Joy.
You must also do a lot of gay pride events, yeah?
I do. I used to do, depending on the song, I also had some underground hits in the U.S. too, under a group called Wide Life. I had one particular one, and I was touring a lot of the pride festivals in the U.S. With that track, and with Queer Eye as well, because I was touring with those guys as well. And it's always a lot of fun, and I never get tired of hearing the empowerment stories. Now, saying that, I have a lot of... I have a huge straight following as well.
Yeah.
And again, more empowerment stories. It doesn't matter where I am. Once people realize who I am after the show, they come up and they're like, oh my God, this is what happened. And I was going through a divorce, or I was breaking up with my boyfriend, or I was going for a job, or I was studying. There's always a beautiful story. And people feel compelled to tell me how the music moved them and how it empowered them. It's beautiful. It's just beautiful. I always say the music has been bigger than me and it's bigger than the group. And like I said, it is the honor of my life, literally, to have sung songs that enrich people and empower people. I'm all about that. I do a lot of inspirational, motivational speaking as well. And it is all stemmed from Superstar. And it is all stemmed from Broken Bones and Queer Eye for the Straight Guy and Here Comes the Sunshine. Life is hard, a daily life. We all go through something, even me. We go through some stuff every day. And you pass people on the street and you don't know their story. And if going to a club and hearing that song uplifts them, like I said, my job is done.
So you are coming to Australia for the Wild Nights Tour in June.
I am.
So what have you got in store for us?
You know what? Good times, good vibes, and I expect to see everybody with their hands in the air and singing along with me word for word. I love it when the audience takes over. So it's all about bringing back the 90s, yep. Bringing back that feel-good music and that good vibe, and just having fun.
Simone, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. All the best. Hopefully we'll meet you too. Hopefully maybe when you're in Australia we can get you in the studio sometime.
That would be wonderful. I'd love that.
All the best. Good luck with the Australian tour.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Talk to you soon. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Joy.
It's such a delightful day.
Oh, even Zena agrees. Gabe, I've done something really bad. I feel terrible about it.
You should.
Oh, okay then.
It's the worst.
Yeah, look, I forgot my friend's birthday the other week.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. The worst part of the story is I actually called him up on the day and was like, hey, do you want to go shopping? Because I really need to buy a bedside table.
Oh, no.
I needed to buy a bedside table. So, like, do you want to go shopping for a bedside table today? And he was just like, yeah, sure, of course, no worries.
Of course.
Let's do it.
Because he thought you were going to buy him something. You're like, if someone called you on your birthday and said, let's go shopping.
Yeah. Well, look, I need to sort of say, first of all, he did tell me that it was his birthday. He's one of those people that doesn't have his birthday on social media.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, we are in a digital age now, so we do kind of rely on sort of digital calendars and all of that sort of stuff. I really should have written it down, though.
You should have.
I'd been meaning to ask him, though, when it was again, and I just completely forgot. But the worst part is I'd gone over to his place to meet him, so we'd go out and shopping, and I think he was showering, and then one of our friends texted and he said, good show today. I'm sure you know it's X's birthday today. I was just going to do a little pizza and cake. If you weren't doing anything tonight, let me know. And then I'm like, oh my God, it's his birthday. What have I done? I have a question for you though.
Yes.
Because I think I kind of stuffed up because, that's already been established. Yeah. I did stuff up. But should I have just pretended it was a surprise? You know what I mean? That I forgot and then...
No, it's his birthday. You can't mess with him any further.
I mean, I've got a bit of a... I'm one of those people that has a real guilty conscience.
Yeah.
So my first gut instinct was like, oh, I feel terrible. I feel bad. So I just had to apologise, profusely.
That's the best thing.
Look, I bought him lunch and we had a really nice day. But do you want to know the final worst part of the story?
Yeah, I would love to.
It was the second year running that I'd forgotten it.
Oh.
It's the same story though because he doesn't have it on social media. I'm going to tattoo his birthday to my hand.
Yeah, do that.
Have you forgotten anything before, Gabe?
I forget things all the time.
Such as?
Well, this weekend I actually forgot my niece's birthday.
I know.
It started
That's terrible.
At 10 in the morning and my mum called me at 12 and I realised, so I haven't spoken to my mum in a few days because I can't talk to her, but I actually forgot my own birthday.
Oh.
Well, I mixed up the days because my birthday this year was on a Sunday, but my family were having a thing for me on Saturday, right?
Yeah.
So in my head, I was just thinking birthday lunch on Saturday.
Uh-huh.
So I told my housemate that my birthday was on Saturday, right?
Yeah.
And then in the morning, she woke up on Saturday morning and started like singing my birthday and was like, made it real special for me. And I was like, oh, that's so nice of you. And then my girlfriend pointed out to me that it wasn't actually my birthday. It was my birthday on Sunday. So I told everyone that my birthday was on Saturday and it wasn't.
It's like that thing where do you ever occasionally forget how old you are?
All the time.
Sometimes I do as well.
That's what happens when you get old.
I'm like, yeah, I'm just 18. I'm just out of high school. Not. Is that the worst thing you've ever forgotten though?
No, it's not the worst thing I've ever forgotten. Oh man. Okay, here we go. The worst thing I've ever forgotten was the time of my dad's... I'm laughing. It's funny. I forgot the time of my dad's funeral.
Oh.
So I was 40 minutes late.
I don't really know what to say.
Well, peace be with you. I'm not sure.
Did they stop for you?
They waited for me. Oh. They waited for me, which I thought was really nice. So when I got there to the church, right, I was in a church, I had to like walk from the very back of the church to the front of the church. And as I was like walking down the aisle, I was like in my head, I was just thinking to myself like, everyone was like looking at me. And I was like, everyone was really sad. And I was just thought to myself, well, this must be exactly what it feels like to get married.
Okay, you drew a parallel with a wedding at your wedding.
All my friends and family were there.
This is really naughty to say, but I guess your dad was always going to wait for you.
Yeah, yeah, he wasn't going anywhere.
That's terrible, Ben.
Joy.
Now, we have a problem in Canberra, and it's not one of the political type. Wild peacocks are dividing a Canberra community as their antics fall foul of residents. Whilst peacocks are often used to represent sophistication and beauty, these birds are causing chaos in the suburb of Narrabunna. Residents of the local retirement village are claiming they're being bullied for favouring the birds, while another peafowl family had their house vandalised after environmentalists wrongly assumed they were in the anti-flock brigade. Build-up of complaints over 15 years has forced the ACT government to develop a management plan to eradicate the problem of wild peacocks.
Peacocks?
Yeah, wild peacocks.
Wild peacocks. What's the difference between a wild peacock and a normal peacock?
They're all wild, aren't they?
Well, that's,
you are these ones going to beat you up or something? Like, give me all your money.
And they jump on roofs and they do all nasty things and they, oh yes.
What could a peacock possibly do to, besides like put up its showgirl feathers and say, look at me? And did you say they're vandalising properties?
Just a gang of peacocks with spray cans.
and they're doing all nasty things and they're upsetting the traffic. And, oh, look, it's just disastrous.
Upsetting the traffic.
Spreading rumours.
Oh, those dirty peacocks. Gabe, have you ever had much experience with peacocks?
I try to avoid all kinds of cocks. Sorry, what?
Download the Joy 94.9 smartphone app today. See joy.org.au.